We know there are times where you're just too busy to sort through the mass of information that comes your way. So to make it easier for you to stay informed, subscribe to The Morning Agenda, WITF's news podcast, where the only agenda is you.
Funding for The Spark is provided by Capital Blue Cross, focused on creating a healthier future for our communities through innovations like its Capital Blue Cross Connect Health and Wellness Centers, which provide in-person services and inspire healthy living. Learn more at capitalbluecross.com. The Spark is also supported by UPMC. Choose UPMC for your family's health care needs close to home. Visit upmc.com/centralPA for a complete list of services and locations.
The Pennsylvania Legislative Black Caucus acts as a voice representing the interests of the African American community throughout the Keystone State, conveying their viewpoints to the Pennsylvania legislator and advocating for policies that promote social, cultural, and economic progress statewide. And today on The Spark, we have April Ash, the executive director of the caucus, and I'm looking forward to discussing how the caucus explores its diverse responsibilities and projects, such as the James R. Roebuck Scholarship, which assists high school seniors and college students in their educational pursuits. But first, we want to find out more about what the caucus is and what it entails. So, April, first and foremost, thank you for joining us on The Spark today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. Yes. I'm very happy to be here.
Yes, it's our pleasure. Our pleasure. So, first question, what is the Pennsylvania Black Caucus?
Ooh, that's a good one, right? Everybody's like, well, what do you do? What do you guys do?
Right.
The Pennsylvania Legislative Black Caucus is a culmination of state representatives and organization stakeholders, as well as our foundation as well, which acts as our fundraising leg. But what it is it is a culmination of about 38 members between the House and the Senate legislature coming together to promote as well as provide legislation, administration, and supportive services to the community. So a lot of that has to do with advancing legislation and policy that will directly impact Black and Brown and Indigenous people of color communities. Mm.
So then what does a normal day for yourself look like?
Well, a lot of it has to do with organizing legislative priorities. So for the Pennsylvania Legislative Black Caucus, one of our major priorities is Black maternal health equity across the board for both Black men and women. And we also, I do a lot of meetings with our stakeholders, as well as different government officials to be able to find out what the need is, right? Because it's one thing to just create policy off of what you may think, but it's another thing to actually create policy that directly affects and it comes from the people that are on the grassroots doing the work. Mm. So it is a culmination of all of that.
And do you all work with other caucuses?
Oh, absolutely. So we not only have the beautiful opportunity to have 38 members, which is the largest caucus in the General Assembly here in the Commonwealth. But we have a plethora of Hispanic members as well as Asian members. And so we brought them into the table. And then what was beautiful is when they were able to sustain a caucus on their own, such as the Latino Legislative Caucus, they then branched out in order to create their own caucus, and we still work together. The beautiful ladies of the Black Maternal Health Caucus, they are also an extension of our women and girls of color subcommittee, and we work together all the time. So yes.
And I was actually going to ask that because you said that there are 38 members. So I was going to ask, are all 38 members Black, and are there some subcommittees which you already said, but could you go into just a little bit more detail about the subcommittees and the different kind of members that you have, the diverse number of members that you have?
Oh, absolutely. So Just to give you a little bit of background on even how like the Pennsylvania Legislative Black Caucus even came to be and how that plays into the history of how we have become so diverse. So back in like 73, 74, at that time, Speaker Kaylee Ray Irvis, who was the very first Black man to become the Speaker of the Pennsylvania General Assembly, he found a few Black members that they wanted to have conversations so that when there were bills come up, that they would be able to make sure that they were making sure that the points of the Black voices were heard. Now, before this even happened, they had to actually meet behind closed doors. They couldn't just have a meeting and just like any other caucus like we have today. So there was a lot of movement that needed to happen in secrecy before we were actually able to come out and voice like as we are today. So how did that then transpire over into, you know, how where we are today? So we recognize and realize that a lot of the issues that many different communities go through is the same as what Black and Brown folks actually go through on a daily basis. And so what we found is there were a lot of synergies in that. And so we wanted to be able to make sure that when we created policy from our caucus perspective, that we were creating inclusive and diverse legislation that will be able to affect all people, not just some.
And talking about legislation, is there any landmark legislation that the caucus really helped with that they're initiating right now?
Absolutely. So, have you heard of the Momnibus?
Yes.
All right. So the Momnibus legislation from the Black Maternal Health Caucus, it is about seven bills that have to do with from incarcerated women getting the help that they need, getting the resources that they need, making sure that women have equitable access to health care all across the Commonwealth. We're looking into making sure that young girls and women have the resources and the education that they need to understand their bodies and themselves. We also are working along with Representative Krajewski and a few of our stakeholders on voter registration within incarcerated spaces, as well as looking into a lot of criminal justice reform. We're looking into doing a health care tour, a voter registration tour, so that folks are readily available to know what is there for them, how we can service and support them, and then they can give us ideas on how we can better support them from a state perspective.
Now, April, you dropped the bar right there. You said voter registration in incarcerated spaces. What is that? Because that just blew my mind right there.
So in that space, right, Representative Krajewski has been one of our champions when it comes to voting rights and when it comes to making sure that we encompass everyone that has a voice and that should have a right to vote. So in doing that, he proposed legislation that would bring the votes to the voting, how can I say that? To bring the voting booth, there you go, bring the voting booth to inmates, right? Whether it be a write-in, we're not quite sure what that process looks like, so I'm not going to put that out there, but we're open to, you know, we're open to more suggestions. But being able to create space for those that are incarcerated to have their voices heard, because a lot of times when they are behind bars, we don't know what their needs are unless it's a family member or unless they come out or unless unfortunately they are unalived while they're in there. And so in that space, we want to make sure that we know what's going on. I was just a part of a conversation the other day regarding DCP and making sure that we're doing all that we can to create an equitable and safe space for those that do have to go into that prison.
And before we go to our next break here, I do want to ask, it's going to be a very obvious question here, but why are these kind of caucuses needed?
Ooh. Why are these kind of caucuses needed? For the very reason why, we had to abolish Jim Crow laws, and why we had to, why we make such a big deal about the first black ever anything. It's because at one point we were not invited. At one point we were pushed away. At one point our voices were silent. And at this point we say no more. Our voices are no longer silent. We are breaking the glass ceilings, and we are now saying you have to listen to us. Our demographics have changed within each of the districts, and we have to make sure, especially for black and brown folks, we got to make sure that we're showing up. You got to show up, you got to show out, you got to make sure that we know who you are so that we can bring you to the table. And when I became the executive director about almost 3 years ago, it was my mission to make sure that we are bringing small businesses, okay? It's not just about the mayors, and yes, we need them, but we also need the local organizations. We also need the community to just say to us, hey, did you know this was going on? And this is something that we can do about it.
So my next question here is, how have you seen the caucus evolve over these last few years?
It has been a tremendous leap forward. I have been fortunate enough to be serving in the legislature for 15 and a half years. And I definitely can say that from a time when we were not, and this is not, I know this is not a political space, but I'm still going to speak on to it because it's just the history of it. Democrats were in the minority, and because of that, it made it very difficult sometimes to get legislation through, to making sure that, again, our voices are being heard. So over the years, with us being able to take the helm as majority caucus, we have been able to advance many, many different pieces of legislation, from banning ghost guns into making sure that we have equitable health care, affordable, accessible, and affordable housing. We have been fortunate enough to work closely with Governor Shapiro's administration in making sure that they know how we can support them, and they can know how we can better support them as well. So over the years, I mean, we've been able to battle a lot of the anti we've been able to advance much of the anti-racism and creating equitable space for restorative justice.
And on top of that, you all also have scholarships available as well. One specifically being the Roebuck Scholarship. Can you tell us about that scholarship and how it got started?
Yes, absolutely. This prestigious scholarship was named after Mr. James R. Roebuck. Now, he is a former member of the Pennsylvania Legislative Black Caucus. He was a chair, and he was also a champion for education. And see, he actually served, if I'm not mistaken, he served in the Pennsylvania House of Representatives from 1985 to 2020.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So he has had, yes, this man has done a phenomenal job in making sure, and I have had the pleasure of watching him on the House floor and just interacting with him just in passing. And I can definitely say that he was a force to be reckoned with. And we're just grateful to be able to, name the scholarship after him. And what that is it is a scholarship for high school seniors as well as college students to be able to receive just a small token, one of appreciation, knowing that sometimes it's difficult to find the money. It's difficult to find the funding that you need in order to further your dreams or further your education. And so because of that, we saw fit that it would be beneficial if we could just give a small part back to the community, especially to the next generation that's going to actually be taking care of us and making the decisions for us on a legislative space. Why not support them in all of their dreams, no matter what area it is, and letting them know that we appreciate them? I mean, we have, over the years, we have honored some of folks that have been influencers, We have uplifted folks that have their own podcasts. And so, because of that, it's like it's not just one area. We want to make sure that people are getting what they need so that they can feel supported and that they can move into the dream that they want to do.
And who qualifies for well, you already answered that. So let me ask you this then. For those college students that qualify for this scholarship, is it just younger college students, or can the older non-traditional college student apply for this as well? The person that decided to go back to school or to go to school at 30, 40, 50 years old, do they qualify for this?
We do not discriminate, right? So let me give you just some of the eligibility requirements that we ask for. We ask that you are a resident of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. You are also a person of color, as well as you're a graduating high school or current undergrad college student. So I'll let you guys take that and run with it if you will. We are still accepting applications. And if you feel as though you need the assistance, please, by all means, reach out to us. You can go to our webpage and you can definitely reach out to us and we'll let you know.
Past winners, can you discuss on some of the feedback from the past winners? Because I'm sure that they reached out and said, "Hey, I was able to do this, this, and this." What are the past recipients saying?
Oh my goodness. I've had folks actually email me and say to me, "Hey, I just wanted to thank you guys so much. You have no idea. It really helped me to and I mentioned the podcast because that was one of the awardees that reached back out to us and she was able to expand her platform. She was able to get some information. She was actually able to take a course to help further her business. And so because of that, it's like this is what we do this for, right? And then we've also had gentlemen go down to Morehouse College, and they were able to then actually get down there. So like they've used the money for transportation needs. They've used it for college material needs, for books and stuff like that. And then we were also able to partner with some phenomenal people, and they also bestowed upon these students different knickknacks and different dorm needs that sometimes we may forget, right? So in that space, it's a blessing to be able to be a part of that, just to be able to be like, yo, we gave back and look, it's doing exactly what it was meant to do.
I know, for myself, I would get $1,000 a year from my church. Shout out to Brightside Baptist Church in Lancaster. And that really made me feel more responsible as a student. Like I wasn't there just for myself. I have my community members behind me. I have my church that invested in me and this education. So, those nights that I didn't feel like studying, I felt like the church was like, "Son, get up. Get up." So is there that same community feel with this scholarship?
I love that you said that because the moment that you said, the investment, right? People need to know that you just care. And investing that into someone, it makes the world of a difference. It helps with self-esteem, it helps with productivity, it helps with responsibilities and knowing that, hey, look, I may have to create some healthy boundaries here in order for me to excel in this, but I know for a fact that I got folks behind me that support me, and that does make a difference. So yeah, absolutely.
Miss Barbara Cameron, may she rest in peace. She would always ask me, "Did you get that stupid up out of you? Because you need to finish school. The church wants you to finish. We are behind you." Before we head on out here, how can folks sign up? Where can they go? The website link, how can they get in contact with you all?
Yes. So if you are interested in our James R. Roebuck Scholarship, you can go to www.pahouse.com/PLBC. And you will see right on the top head runner where it says scholarships, and you can click on that link and it'll take you right to our application process. We are still accepting scholarship applicants all the way through April 5th by 5 p.m. So please make sure, keep them coming in because they're coming in. So we are looking forward to going through those. And if you need any feedback, if you have any questions and you just like, I have no idea, you can always send me an email on PLBC, the little at sign, pahouse.com.
And there it is. My basketball coach would always say, you miss 100% of the shots that you don't take. So, folks listening, shoot your shot. April, I want to thank you for joining us on the Spark today. This has been great. Before we head on out, what's next for the caucus?
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate you taking the time to invite us here. And what's next up for us is we just finished today, actually, as we close out Women's History Month, we were able to honor five amazing, extraordinary, trailblazing women in the Commonwealth. We honored Mayor Sherrell Parker, the Honorable Tamika Lane. We were also able to uplift our sisters in the Black Maternal Health Caucus, State Representative Morgan Cephas, Latasha D. Mays, as well as Gina Curry. And we just couldn't be more thrilled to having these women being the forefront of, our Commonwealth's needs and issues. Next up, we have our Kaylee Roy Irvis Day of Action. That will be happening on May 22nd through the 23rd. And that'll happen at the Crown Plaza. We'll be able to bring a lot of business owners, entrepreneurs, community local businesses, and organizations to a space where we will host about five different panel discussions that range from the Black Teacher Pipeline to the Crown Act, as well as, of course, Black Health Equity. We're always going to talk about that. And we have a few other things up our sleeves as well. That will actually be the time where we will honor our James R. Roebuck Scholarship awardees. So if you are available, please make sure to come on out and stay tuned for more information on that.
Oh, well. Thank you for joining us today, April. Again, this has been fantastic.